Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" They didn't have the time to do a proper job of anointing Christ's dead body on the day that he died. The law did not permit such work to be done on a Sabbath, and the Sabbath began at sunset on Friday, not long after Jesus died. So they went to the tomb very early on Sunday morning to show the decent respect for Jesus that had been denied him in the final hours of his life. It was an act of devotion. It was an act of love. They needed to show Jesus their devotion, but they could not anoint his body with spices unless they entered the tomb, and they couldn't enter the tomb unless somebody rolled away the stone from the entrance. It was too big and too heavy for them to handle by themselves. If the stone keeps the dead body of Jesus inside the tomb, the women cannot demonstrate their devotion and love to him. And of course, neither can anyone else. If the stone keeps the dead body of Jesus inside the tomb, then we are all dead. It was for us that he died. If he stays dead, we stay dead. If he stays dead, he did not take away our sin. It was our sin that he bore. Now, if he took that sin away, he must rise from the dead. If he stays dead in the tomb, locked in the tomb and guarded by a stone nobody can roll away, we stay dead in that tomb with him. It is touching to see how these women, on their way to the tomb, went to do for Jesus what their hearts compelled them to do. Acts of devotion like this are a wonderful testimony to a love that God himself works within his dear children. And the women on the way to the tomb were indeed dear children of God. The piety of the women is in marked contrast to that of the men. The men ran away when Jesus was arrested. They huddled in fear on that first Easter evening. The women showed far more courage. They were driven by a love for the one who had loved them. His love had touched them where they lived. He loved them with a pure, gracious love. He had shown them the meaning of grace, and nobody else had or could. The women's devotion to Jesus was the precious work in their hearts of Jesus himself. Not even Christ's public shaming and brutal death could root out of their hearts their love for him. It was more powerful even than the sorrow of death. That is the devotion for which we should pray. But it isn't enough. No, it isn't anywhere near enough. Why not? Because it cannot roll away the stone. If I love Jesus with all my heart, if I devote myself in service to him, if I imitate him in his humble sacrificial love, if I do all that I can do, even with Almighty God helping me to do it, I cannot roll that stone away. It is too heavy for me. It is too big for me. Somebody else will have to do it for me, or I will not be able to show my devotion to Jesus. No, I will instead be trapped in that tomb with him, cold, dead, and powerless, dead, never to know life or joy or God. We come to funerals and say words often without thinking because we don't know what to say. We want to express our love and our devotion for the one who has passed away and for those who are grieving, but we really can't do anything about it. When a loved one dies and you go through the ritual of grieving, tears, embraces, words of comfort, reminiscing over food and drink, saying goodbye to the friends and relatives that came by to show their support, what do you face when it's all over? You face the same death you faced when the grieving started. When it comes to death, we're helpless. Nothing shows us our helplessness more clearly. Dead is dead, and there is nothing that we can do about it. Folks disguise death and call it something else. Since aging leads to death, evidence of age is also covered up. Just think of the time, effort, and money spent on products designed to make people look younger. But time marches on. We grow older, we look older, sooner or later, we die. It's no fun getting old, especially when you lose your ability to do those things you've always enjoyed doing. But it's either grow old or die young. And then, even if you do grow old, you'll still die. Besides Enoch and Elijah, nobody born in this world has ever left it without dying first. Nobody can roll away the stone. The grave is where we are headed. Oh, people will mourn our passing, and those who grieve for us will also receive the many words of condolences and support and love that we offered people when we were alive. But you finally have to ask yourself the blunt questions. What if those dear Christian women had found the Jesus they were looking for? What if they had found the dead Jesus? Of what value would their devotion have had? Just a gesture of love. A futile one at that, for a dead friend. The Christian faith, we confess, is not centered in our devotion to God. The heart of our faith is not our love for Jesus, for our devotion and our love and even our faith cannot roll away the stone. Is this to denigrate the many expressions of Christian love and devotion that are recorded in the Bible and throughout the history of the church? Not at all. Think of how Mary anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus praised her act of devotion as even greater than charity for the poor. The worship of Jesus is a precious thing. What you offer to God when you go to church is an offering of tremendous value. You listen to God, you take his words to heart, you believe what he tells you. You resolve to live a life of obedience to him. You ask that he imprint his holy image on your heart. You offer him your heartfelt praise and thanksgiving. You put offering money in the basket as a sign of your devotion and love and confidence that he will provide for your every need of body and soul. You give yourself to God in humble worship. And God looks at that worship. He accepts it, loves it, and regards your praise as a precious treasure to him. But, may I say this just one more time, this devotion to Jesus cannot roll away the stone. We come to church and we hear the gospel. But before we can hear the gospel, we need to hear God's law. It reveals our guilt. We're guilty of more sins than we can remember. We have not loved God as he says we must. We haven't put him first in our affections. We've loved the things of the world more than we've loved the one who gave them to us. And we haven't loved our neighbor either. We've loved ourselves before him. And by our sins, we have deserved a tomb locked tight, whose entrance is blocked by a stone that you cannot roll away. But when we come to Christ's church, where the gospel is proclaimed on the first day of the week, what do we find? We find that the stone is already rolled away. The message of Easter is not only that God loves you, that Jesus is gracious and kind and full of compassion for sinners who have failed. The message of Easter is that the Jesus who suffered and died on the cross to bear the sin of the whole world is powerful to save the powerless. The message of Easter is a message of God's power over death. And we Christians died with Christ on Calvary. We were buried with him in Joseph's tomb, and we were raised with him on Easter Sunday. We couldn't roll away the stone, but God did it for us. He did it historically in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He did it historically in our own life when we were baptized and united, as St. Paul says, in the likeness of his death. Certainly, he goes on, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, Romans 6, verse 5. Our piety and devotion are precious to God, but they can't open the doors of death and make the dead live. That's why we always celebrate life as God's gift, and we don't look to our own powers or piety. We look to God's gracious and life-giving gospel and sacraments, and there we see the open tomb. The power of God to destroy our death. Our faith didn't bring Jesus out of death into life, and certainly our prayers and praise didn't do it either. Jesus did it without any help from us. He raised himself from the dead just as he said he would do, and that is the greatest miracle of all history. No other miracle compares to when Jesus raised himself up from the dead on Sunday morning. What he did is he opened heaven for us when we die. He left our sins buried in the tomb, every single sin we've ever committed, washed away, gone forever. Christ's resurrection is God absolving us. It is God telling us that our sins are forgiven and we stand innocent before him. And this is what brings us to church on Sunday to hear the gospel. It makes God's heart glad to hear our praises because he loves us. It's the love of the Father that nailed Jesus to the cross to suffer death for us all. We didn't put Jesus on the cross. We never would have thought of doing it, but God did. And there, he embraced everybody's death fully and effectively. He destroyed death. Death is swallowed up in death. And the death of the Son of God has utterly destroyed the death that we faced. The stone is rolled away. Now we see and feel death. He comes closer. We see him take our friends and loved ones, and someday he'll take us. But when he comes, he cannot hurt us. He cannot even make us afraid because the stone is rolled away from the grave. And when you have Christ by faith, the grave isn't going to hold you. Your body may be destroyed, but death won't touch you. He'll strike at you. He'll lay claim to you, but he won't touch you because Jesus left him in the tomb. Jesus walked out on his own power. And Jesus belongs to you. That's what he says in your baptism. That's what he says in the gospel that you hear. That's what he says in the body and blood he gives you in the supper. He belongs to you. So death can't make you afraid. You've met Jesus at the open tomb. Rather, he has met you. And there he gave you eternal life. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. And we'd like to invite you also to attend one of the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. Through the month of April, our schedule will change in May, but through the month of April, our schedule is as follows. Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, Divine Service at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Sunday morning at 10:30, Divine Service at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. And Sunday at noon, divine service at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. And this will be our schedule throughout the month of April. If you want to keep tabs on what's going on and maybe read some sermons or listen to some sermons, go to christforus.org. And there are plenty of interesting things that you can find there to read. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.